This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
All right, before we get back to the calls right here on this not feel good football Friday, which is normal. Instead, it's a Friday in the DMV and beyond on the Odyssey app. We're always live and free. I don't need to see all these people on my television, whether it be NFL Network or ESPN. I don't need to see them in their stupid analytics. Please go away. Just go away. Just go away. I'm going to sit here and tell you, I was at that game last night. The Commanders had every chance to win that game for 3.5 quarters. It got away as the fourth quarter obviously built. Yes, I understand. They gave up yards. Listen, giving up yards, like, stop thinking defenses are going to pitch complete shutouts. That's not realistic. I can't tell you how many people, the fourth quarter, they gave up a lot of yards in the first three quarters. Shut up. Shut up. Take your DVOA and shove it up your ass. Sorry.
Now, we can't reasonably say that a big reason for the win yesterday also was Jake the Make turning into Jake the Fake.
That helped. There is no doubt.
Because that's... Again, 7 points that are
you have to sometimes have a rabbit, you know, coming out of your magic hat,
yeah,
right?
Well, we got lucky across the board.
Understood.
To help
but
us.
My point is you're going to give up yards in the NFL.
Yes.
In any level of football. The key is if you bend but don't break, or the key is, however it happens, turnovers, penalties on the other side, inefficiency in the red zone, a little mix, great defense, what have you. San Rostello, we mentioned a couple of times. If you get fortunate and you make enough plays and they don't, you're going to give yourself a chance to win. But this notion that you're going to be like the 85 Bears defense or the 2000 Baltimore Ravens defense, that, people, that does not exist. So stop. Yeah. Well, they gave up plenty of yards. They just got lucky. No, they got some luck. But they made more plays, and they made more of their luck. But again, the analytics won't tell you that. And you got people making millions and millions of dollars just spewing analytics with no context that didn't even probably watch the game. And if they did, they were half in the sauce. 301-230-0980. Back to the phones we go. All right, I had to get that off my back. Sorry. Bill in Upper Marlboro, and then we'll get to Thomas in D.C. next. What's up, Bill? How are you?
Hey, how you doing, Chris?
All right, Bill, what's going on?
Hey, just a couple points real quick. I'm not going to talk long, but...
That's right.
Just looking at, I agree with everything you've been talking about today, but the way I looked at it is the defense made adjustment against Philadelphia to protect the corners. And eventually it wore out because Barkley just went off. But it was like choose your poison, because if they didn't do that, then the Philly receivers probably would have had a field day on it. And the biggest thing that I think, and I'm going to just say this, is by being an ex-player myself, a rib injury is the worst injury I think you can have as a player. It never heals until you just get completely rest. And Jaden Daniels just, to me, just looked like he's still injured. And the way that the offense was playing was our best defense, because our defense was always fresh. But you could tell, and I said the same thing about, what's his name, Wagner?
Yeah.
He was great, but I think you were right. He just looked like he was tired. He was exhausted.
I think it was more than Wagner. And, you know, like to your point about the ribs, when we were going through the week between Carolina and Chicago, and we still didn't know whether he was even going to play in that first game after the injury, right? We had somebody call up a jiu-jitsu instructor and said, man, if he's got like rib cartilage injury and damage, like that could be like a 14, 15 week type of heal, you know? And the only way you get that, Bill, is how? In the offseason. And, you know, again, we still don't know because they were never fully upfront with us. But clearly, and here's what I wonder. I wonder if it's an as the game goes along thing, meaning he's okay during the week. So therefore, he's not on the injury report, right? But he starts getting jostled around. He starts getting hit. He starts getting into these car crashes, even fender benders. And by the third and fourth quarter, you know, one hit after another, after another, after another, after another, kind of builds up. It's kind of like the defense where you say, all right, we were really fresh for 2.5 quarters, and we were kicking ass, and we were pretty much taking names, and we were making enough plays to sustain ourselves. But then you keep taking those little punches, those little gut punches, and eventually you take the knockout blow. And again, maybe that's too simplistic, but that's just kind of the way I think you see it and kind of the way I see it, and that's where we're at. And oh, by the way, they're not a full roster, right? This is year one of the turnover. So hopefully next year with another draft class and an opportunity to maybe be less reliant on veteran leadership, and I'm not saying Bobby Wagner won't be here, I don't know that, but maybe they will have their stud Mike linebacker of the future. I don't know. And maybe that guy will be 23 or 24, and he'll have fresh, juicy legs in the fourth quarter where, you know, again, Bobby Wagner maybe doesn't, you know, so we will see.
All right. Thank
Appreciate
you,
Bill. Have a good weekend. Thank you. Good to see you. Good to hear from you, I should say. Thomas is in D.C. Next up, Team 980. Thomas, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing all right. How are you doing today?
Good, Tom. What's going on?
You hear me? How are you doing today?
Yeah, I'm good. You got me?
Yeah, I got you.
Okay.
Hey, I think what the situation was, that the way this is my opinion, in hindsight, when he got down there in the first half, they got the seven. They didn't really do nothing. That was the opportunity right there to go up to be able to win this game, which they didn't do.
You mean on the possession where they took the two sacks, or the possession where they had the ball at the where is it here in my notes? They had the ball at I think the 40-yard line, and they didn't. There was one possession.
I was talking about in the red zone when the coach made the decision to go for it on.
Late in the game. I thought you were talking about in the first half. My bad.
Because I turned the TV off at a later time.
Yeah.
Because I had got mad about it. But I'm saying though, in the first half when we got the seven and they had all that time, that was the time. You know what I'm saying?
We were on the same page, and that's what I was trying to get at. To your point, right? They score and make it 7-0, right? And then the Eagles come out and they force a punt, right? Sanderstill makes a big play. John Dotson with a drop. That was another big Sanderstill play.
Right.
And then they take an illegal block. Now they're all the way backed up in this, but they go 3-and-out. Okay, and then the defense gets another stop,
and they force the missed field goal,
and that's where they missed a 51-yard field goal. So they take over at the 41-yard line of the Philadelphia Eagles, and they do diddly squat, and they get sacked twice. That sequence right there where you had momentum, they screwed up, you had great field position, and you get dump trucked twice on back-to-back plays cannot happen. You cannot win road games against more talented teams on a short week in their own home. You can't even do it at home, but you can't do that on the road.
Excuse me for cutting you off, but I wanted to say this here. At the end of it, when he ran two plays, running plays, they didn't get the 1 yard or 1 or 2 yards. I think it was 1 yard. And then his ribs is bothering him. And then on the fourth play, how do you call that? You kick the field goal and you kick the ball back down. You kick the field goal, get the three, go up like 1 or 2 points, kick the ball back down the field. and let them come back. Okay, if they come back and score a field goal, they win the game. We ain't having this whole conversation.
No,
if we don't kick it in and our defense hold them, we win the game.
Well, their point is they didn't think the defense was going to hold on a one-point lead, and they're probably right. But my argument was that maybe it gives the defense and the sideline a shot in the arm as they feel things are slipping away. You got the lead now. You got the lead with 8 minutes left to go, assuming that they kick the extra or the field goal. And that's, again, an assumption, and it ultimately didn't work out that way. Appreciate the phone call. Thank you. Let's get to, let's see here. Lou is with us on the Team 980. What's up, sweet Lou? How are you?
Bruce there. What's going on, man?
What's shaking, Lou? How are you?
Man, disappointed, man. Tough loss, man. I'm still kind of trying to bang my head, man, but trying to figure out what went wrong in that 10 minutes and was it 12 minutes?
A bunch went wrong, and that's the problem. It's not just one thing. A bunch went wrong, but, I mean, it all is generated from the offense. The offense could not sustain offense the entire night on third down. Obviously had the turnover, had the blown sequence that I was just talking about where they take over at the 41-yard line and they do diddly squat and they get sacked twice. Again, that's a good defense. That's a really good defense, but they blew opportunities in addition to not being good at all in any way, shape, or form on third down, which is the ultimate problem.
Yeah, we just didn't move the ball. We just Jaden didn't look the same from the get-go. Just kind of one of those things. I mean, we played an excellent football the first half. I mean, regardless up by seven. I mean, you know, you still had the lead for like the last 12 minutes for you to back-to-back week. This is all on coaches. I think you know the blame pie goes. I mean, look, I get Jaden get a little bit of, you know, the blame goes on him too. I mean, some of these throws just look awful, man. Like he's throwing these balls like it's one of those baseball like play. Like you throwing it to the ground, dude, hit him in the chest on the stride. Isn't that what they do? Like I'm confused with some of these throws, and you know the receivers trying to come back and make play at it. Like come on, we just think we collapsed in the final quarter. I mean, you know, it was a great effort. What hurt is that we know we could beat these guys. I mean, we lost the game by 1 point, and then last night up by 10. I mean, up by about 4 points in the fourth quarter. These are the kind of games you have to find a way to win.
Yeah.
But it's a learning process, so we just have to be on board and hopefully come, you know, Dallas and we're going to have to take care of business.
It is a process, and you have to climb the ladder before you get to the top of the building or whatever. And right now they're climbing the ladder and they've been knocked down a peg and now they have, they have to figure out a way to keep climbing.
Chris, it's year one, man. Imagine a year two, year three, once they get a complete free agent, you know, some of the draft they want to add on. So as a fan, like, you know, we gamble on the house money this season. So come next season, the real season is going to start. So this season, look, even though we added Marshawn, we still have a chance to make some noise. But I don't want some of these fans to be kind of giving up on these guys, the coaches, stuff. I just hope, you know, it's a mistake. They're going to learn from it and try to, you know, try to work on it and try to be better the next week.
Well there's no doubt they're going to learn from it. The question is can they correct it against the better upper echelon teams? You might be able to get away with it, you know.
Yeah,
again, next Sunday, you might be able to. You might be able to get away with it against Carolina or Cleveland. Against higher-level elite competition, especially on the road, you're not able to. Appreciate it, Lou. Thank you. When we come back, more of your calls. I also want to go through some of the bad throws/decisions that Jaden had last night because I got a bunch of them, that some of which we haven't mentioned. That deserves some time, right? Again, if you're going to praise the quarterback when everything's going good, we have to take a step back and say he could have played better. He needs to be better. That doesn't mean you don't have faith. That doesn't mean you lose all hope. That doesn't mean any of that. And it doesn't mean that we're not allowed to criticize him. He didn't play well last night for whatever the reason. We haven't even gotten to what I think is the main reason, but you know, we'll try and squeeze that in as well on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, on this Football Friday, we still have all of our, the remaining five games against the spread, because we were right, actually, as it turned out, on the Eagles covering the 3.5. which we picked on yesterday's game. Plus, we'll rank our top six teams all to come in the 3 o'clock hour. Listen, again, we've mentioned Jaden Daniels obviously struggling again for a second consecutive game. The interception late with 4:45 left to go, they line up three wide receivers in a trips-type formation, and then they double motion Noah Brown inside and then another motion with Terry McLaurin to the left, to the right. So they're trying some trickeration, if you will, some smoke and mirrors. But the bottom line is you can try whatever you want formation-wise. And sometimes when it works out, it's great. But if the quarterback makes a bad decision, if the quarterback makes a bad read, even after that, and even after play action, and he bypasses Austin Ekeler off the play action in the left flat, and he throws the ball right to a veteran safety, instead of, again, to the flat, in basically not a Bermuda Triangle type, but he's got two underneath defenders underneath the intended target. It was a terrible, terrible, awful, terrible decision. And I don't know if enough is being made out of how bad of a decision that was. I mean, I'm telling you, I went back and watched it 10 times already. I watched the all 22 on it. I mean, they're running all this fancy motion, running play action off of the double motion. And Eckler's wide open off the play action, wide open, an easy 20-yard gain, and he bypasses it to go to the next level to throw into basically converging triple coverage. It is about as bad of a throw and about as bad of a decision as I've seen Jaden Daniels make. You know, maybe the interception by Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah inside the end zone against Cleveland was worse, maybe? Baby, I'm telling you, this was about as bad as it gets. And I don't think enough is being made because people felt like, oh, the game was out of hand. Guess what? They lost by 8 points. Right? If you don't have another wasted possession right there on a terrible, terrible decision, maybe you tie that game. Now, there were other bad throws that I noted. The first third down of the game, bad. It was almost picked off by Zach Bond, who is a beast. I didn't realize he was that good. I knew he was good. I didn't realize he was that good. It was almost picked off underneath. Then he had a drift throw incompletion to Terry McLaurin on McLaurin's first target, third quarter. He kind of drifted, incomplete. He had a throw to the right flat that was low and off to John Bates under some pressure. He had the back-to-back sacks, which, again, aren't all his fault, but what I haven't been able to do is match up, was there any options before he really got into trouble? Again, that was that wasted possession where you take over at the 41 and then you get sacked -4, -8. And before you know it, the series is over. I think they just ran it up the middle to Brian Robinson and boom. And a completely wasted opportunity. Yeah, I would say Jaden Daniels probably had three or four really bad throws last night. Really bad. I would say that. And I think I'm right. The interception, really bad decision. Really bad read. Really bad everything. The throw on the first series that I just mentioned, underneath, Zach Bond almost picks it off. That's a bad throw. That's a bad decision. And then you can make an argument on the incompletion of Bates, on the incompletion of Terry in the third quarter. Bad throws, maybe some under pressure, maybe some hurried, what have you. But, you know, again, if we're going to say everything else is great throws, and he did make some great throws. He had one to Zach Ertz in a zone, I think for, I don't know, 14 yards, somewhere in that range. I think that was second quarter. Maybe it was third quarter. I can't remember. I have to look and find it in my notes. Just a great throw. You know, nobody's here trying to say Jaden Daniels is not a good quarterback anymore. because he struggled two games in a row against elite defenses. What we are saying is you start to see when you can't run the ball as effectively, when your body is beat up, whether it's him and the offensive line or both or all, you start getting these little things that they got away with in the first nine games that all of a sudden are getting exposed against higher level elite defenses. All right, let's get back to it on the phones. Let's go to, where are we going here? Johnny in D.C. next up on the Team 980. What's up, Johnny? How are you?
Hey, how y'all guys doing
right,
today,
Johnny,
man?
What's going on?
I mean, I get it. We lost, okay? We lost. But come on. You guys are a little dramatic, man. Four bad throws.
A little dramatic?
Remember, we had Sam Howell.
Johnny.
We just went four.
Johnny, I don't care about Sam Howell.
Come on, guys.
Johnny.
We just won
four games. Johnny, I was in Philadelphia last night. I don't care about Sam Howell. Are we not allowed to criticize him? Johnny, are we not allowed to criticize him because we had Sam Howell?
No, I'm not talking about the criticizing. I'm saying we could talk about what he did, but I'm just talking about the wording. The wording is just sounds real dramatic,
what
man.
What wording do you
bad?
Want me to use? What wording do you
come
want
on,
me to
man.
Use?
Something not so dramatic.
Like what?
What? That's what we talking about.
What do you want me to say? Jaden wasn't really great last night.
Catastrophic game. It's a lot of double talk. But I mean,
did I say catastrophic? I said he had a couple of bad throws.
Right. That's exactly how
he
I
had a couple of
say.
Bad throws, Johnny. And then I gave you all the details. Stop. Enough. Give me a break. You guys suck sometimes. I mean, you guys all want bouquets of roses, but then the second somebody says, "Hey, you know what? He didn't perform well in this spot. He could have done a lot better. Terrible decision. Terrible throw." Oh, yeah, don't be so dramatic. You guys are just looking for ratings. I forgot. There was an even worse throw than some of the other ones I mentioned. To Noah Brown, low and behind, off of play action. Terrible. He's allowed to have some bad throws. We're allowed to point it out. That's how this works, guys. If he makes great plays, we talk about that. If he makes bad plays, we talk about that. If Dan Quinn makes great decisions, we talk about that. If Dan Quinn makes bad decisions, we talk about that. If they have a great game, we talk about that. If the defense, you get the point. Let me get to Franco here in D.C. What up, Franco? How are you?
What's up, man?
What's up, Franco?
I understand what's going on, but look, it was a little sloppy in there. He made some bad throws, and he's human, and I understand that. But you got to call it out because that decision was crazy, man. Especially that interception, man. And look, if the dude won there, I don't think it would have caught it because it was so low. You know, something was off yesterday, man. And then you know what? The defense got exhausted. That's why they couldn't stop Saquon in the end.
Yeah.
Because in the beginning, they were doing a very good job.
Yeah.
But the offense kept going one, two, three, out. Yep. They couldn't get no rest. They was out there fighting the whole time. Man.
Franco, they were on the field for 27 minutes in the first three quarters. That's an average of nine minutes a quarter. That's too much. Too much.
And then when you have a slashing
really speedy running back beyond a great offensive line, yes, they're going to miss some gaps and they're going to miss some tackles and they're going to miss some plays and they're going to have some success and they're going to overcommit. Yes, that happens.
And I saw the exhaust in it. I saw it because when Saquon was running through it, they was nowhere near him because they couldn't get there. They was exhausted, man. I saw it.
I'm with you. Thank you, Franco. Appreciate you. All right, good to hear from you. 301-230-980-232, Team 980. More of your calls coming straight up. I see all the lines are lit. We will continue. We have no guests scheduled. We'll just continue to rock and roll with all the calls and all the reaction. And I didn't mean to yell and get mad. It's just like you guys can't sit here and say, well, you're overdramatic by saying it was a terrible decision. It was. Watch the tape. Watch the throw. I described it as eloquently as anybody is going to describe it. everything that was going on. I don't have a visual element to show exactly what I'm talking about. You got to trust me. I'm not making this up. I'm not doing it for hyperbole. It was a terrible, terrible decision. A terrible decision.
He couldn't have done better.
It was an awful decision, period. Awful. And that's okay, too. 301-230-0980. Time for a quick trending alert right here, Team 980. All right, if you're looking for something to do tonight, we have plenty of action for you, not only here on the Team 980, but locally. And that is the Wizards in Atlanta in an NBA Cup game. Bloomberg 99-1, 7:30, as the Wizards try and snap a six-game losing streak. The Capitals start a road trip in Colorado tonight. Late night on 106.7 The Fan, 9 o'clock for the action there. Meanwhile, the Maryland Terrapins are hosting Marquette in a top 15 opponent matchup in College Park. You can hear that game right here on the Team 980 and, again, the Odyssey app with coverage beginning at 7:30 from College Park. Meanwhile, you know, I don't know if you're going to watch it, but Netflix will have it. Mike Tyson and Jake Paul. Mike Tyson at 58 years old, is going to get in the ring tonight and take on Jake Paul, who's only famous because he's a social media dope. And that's what's trending. All right, so Jaden Daniels we know was bad. Why? A lot of people still think it's his ribs. He's not on the injury report. Dan Quinn and emphatically said last night he's not injured, he's not hurt, nothing. Is he just playing against better defenses? Is the offensive line so beat up that he doesn't have a chance? Or has he hit a wall? And what I mean by has he hit a wall, my theory. They played now 11 straight weeks, and last night was on a short week, on the road, in division against a better team. But when you combine the 11 straight weeks of the regular season, and actually less than 11 weeks because of the short week, 11 games in 10 and a half weeks, whatever you want to label it as, plus the 6 weeks of the preseason, that's 17 straight weeks of football. Now, yes, I understand he did not play in the final preseason game. Got it. Practice is not as damaging as games, you can't get touched, you can't get beat up. I got it. It's still football, man. It's still work. It's still a grind. It's a mental and physical grind. The dude's there at 5:30 in the morning, every morning. He's working as hard as he can possibly work. He's a rookie. Maybe he's just hit the wall mentally, physically, and emotionally. And along with everything else going a little sideways, guys banged up, guys not in the lineup, guys not performing as well as maybe they did the first 9 weeks of the season against upper-level elite competition on the road in the division. Maybe it's as simple as that. Maybe he is fine with the ribs. Maybe it bothers him a little bit more as the game goes along and he gets jostled. But some of their play calling did not indicate that they're worried about that. But maybe it's just he's hit a wall, and it's okay. It's understandable. It's not against the law. That's what I think it is. I don't know that it is, but that's what I think it is. 301-230-0980. Back to the phones we go. Let's see here. Marcus is in D.C. line two on the Team 980. Hello, Marcus. How are you?
What's going on? I'm pretty good. How are you?
All right, Marcus. What's going on?
I kind of agree with you on that. He may have hit a wall. Like you said, it's been a long season, and he's for the most part been playing above average. These past couple of weeks he has faced a pretty tough defense, so and it showed, and this was one of his worser games that I've seen him play, so you're definitely not off on that. But what I really wanted to touch on was, you know, aside from the major fourth quarter they had, the numerous amount or numerous times we could have capitalized on their mistakes. With 4 minutes to go and two timeouts, we still had a chance.
Yes.
And the play calling,
yep.
it threw me for a loop.
Yep.
I mean, it drags and dump offs and run plays, no use of the timeouts. It was almost as if they had already waved the white
yes.
flag before
they
the
were going. They operated like they were going through the motions, didn't they?
Yes, and I benefit nothing from being a Commanders fan. I felt I was more invested on my couch in them winning this game than they were. Now, I don't want to discredit them at all. These are million-dollar athletes that put time and efforts into it. But it felt like I wanted them to win that game more, and just watching them kind of, like you said, go through the motions, that's been bothering me since last night all the way up until
today.
Well,
you know, I pointed that out last night. You know, 16 down 16, a 15-play drive is not what I'm looking for, right? And I've said several times throughout the show, I understand you got to get the first touchdown in order to get the second. I got that. And that's how Dan Quinn would probably explain it. I didn't hear Dan Quinn on this last night. Maybe I missed it, but I just didn't hear it. But the bottom line is they had a mathematical chance, still with 4 minutes and 45 seconds, again, as you point out, and as we've mentioned, down 16 to tie up the game. And it was just like this methodical, like kind of hazy, like, oh, we got to do this. We're not trying to get anybody hurt. Yeah, we're going to just throw the ball. You know, like it was just a very weird kind of lackadaisical approach.
And it felt like Commanders / football team / Redskins of the past.
When you know what? You're right on that.
Games and then we just give up. And
good,
I'm like,
good point.
We have a team this year. Yeah. We could do, and them scoring on that drive pissed me off more.
Yeah.
You could have done that quicker, given us more time, use the timeouts on the opposite end, 30, 40 seconds, maybe, you know, maybe a little less, but give us a chance. Like, act like you think we have a chance to win the game.
Yeah.
And the fact that, like you said, that it was just going through the motions, man, that irritated me.
Understand. Good point, Marcus. Thank you. Good call. I understand. And again, I didn't hear Dan Quinn on this. I stayed up in the press box last night. I had no interest in going to the locker room. And I wouldn't have been in with Dan Quinn anyway because he takes too long and whatever. The bottom line is, I get that you have to execute the first one to get to the second one. Got it. But there has to be some level of urgency. And like Marcus said, and like we pointed out, they used a timeout before the Saquon Barkley 39-yard touchdown. They had two left, and they never used them. Weird, right? Now, maybe you're, again, trying to save them for if you got the onside kick. Got it. I got it. Oh, okay, he did talk about it. Okay, I missed this. So why don't we hear what Dan Quinn, he was asked about it, what he had to say.
Late in the game, you guys had that long drive. Was there any thought of trying to go quicker or call timeouts? Was it a two-score game?
Yeah, we were trying to. Honestly, it wasn't about going slow or that part. So, yeah, we wanted to get the score in quick, try to get it in before the 2 minute for sure.
All right, so JP asked him. And JP is usually listening, so you know, if he's listening like he normally is, and you know, I love to hear from. I didn't realize JP had asked him about that because the audio up in the press box was bad. So he was like, "Yeah, we were trying to score fast." No, actually, somebody wasn't trying to score fast. Somebody was not interested in using timeouts. Somebody was. And they ran. I mean, and it's not like they were huddling, but they were kind of like drifting up to the line of scrimmage.
To me, it felt like every single play was called with the intent of there being a break that would be the long play, and then this is the play that if we get the break is actually the touchdown that we can then get the ball. And that's kind of the feeling that it felt. That's why there were all the passes down the middle of the field and all the running plays. That's like, okay, well, if there's a break, I see where you're getting from. But
when you say a break, you mean
a breaking play. Somebody misses a tackle.
Oh, right.
Goes
where a little play
yards.
Turns into a big. Okay, gotcha.
It felt like
you were dependent on that instead of stretching the field and going fast up tempo and stretching the field and trying to go down the field. You were trying to get nickeling, diming, and hoping that they would make a mistake.
The perfect spot that you would get a second move. And I think that was that caused them to slow down because they're like, all right, where's the second move going to be?
I didn't understand Dan's answer on that. He was like, yeah, we were trying to score fast. No, actually, you weren't. Like maybe that was the intention, but like at some point, there's just got to be a greater sense of urgency. So good job by JP asking that question. Let's get to Derek in Suitland next up. What's up, Derek? How are you?
Hey, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, Derek. What's going on?
Thanks for taking my call, man. My bearings. Yeah, I just want to say, I don't get the ribs when they're saying that they think it's a problem with his ribs.
Mm-hmm.
We played the Bears and we went through a Hail Mary. That was a nice throw. That was an incredible throw. So I don't think he was having any pain. I heard Doc Walker say the same thing last night, but I don't like how we saying that it's he may be hurt. He just had a game against a very experienced team that we're going to see again at the end of the year.
Derek, I think the problem is everybody looks for a reason as to why it's happening, where your point and my point throughout the day has been a combination of things, right? A, he played poorly and made some bad decisions, but also he's going against upper-level elite defenses. You know, and the Bears are a good defense, but I don't know if they're in the category of Philadelphia and Pittsburgh. But, you know, granted, certainly the Giants are not. I don't think he's injured. Is he banged up going through the game? Maybe. Possibly. Could that affect?
All banged up. All the players are banged up.
Right. Right. My point, I guess, in saying that is he's making bad decisions and bad throws early on in the game. As I described, he was almost picked off on the first third down of the game.
Is he not a rookie? Is this not his first year?
He is a rookie.
I mean, we're raising the expectations on him. It's like he's Tom Brady already.
Yep,
he is a mixture of Tom Brady and Michael Vick. But we got to let him to get there. We got to let him to get here because we don't. I wouldn't have no other quarterback. I wouldn't want no other quarterback for this team than him. So we're gonna have to let it play. We're gonna have to let it play out. He's going. This is a game that we want. We got how many more games we got left? We 7-4.
Yeah.
Can we
so you got
allow
six
him
left
to grow?
Six left.
And what I didn't like is one. But I'm gonna wrap it up. But what I didn't like is where's Terry McLaurin, our best player on the team. He has to get the ball. We have to find a way and get the ball. I might lose my fantasy week because he got 1 point. Come on, man.
Well,
we got to get him the ball.
I mean, I will say this. Yes, they need to do a better job, and thank you. It's a good call. But Quinyon Mitchell was all over him for much of the night. And then even on the first target, Jaden missed him, kind of low and off. First target, first series of the third quarter. All right, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Why don't we take the timeout, and then we'll come back and we'll grab more calls on the other side just so we sort of stay on schedule here, and then I'll come up, I'll get you that number on...
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Quinyon Mitchell, because he was all over Terry McLaurin. Next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, we're back on this not a feel-good football Friday. Instead, it is a Friday. 7-4 are the Commanders' bad habits. Ed Sheeran never heard this tune, but it finally kind of works. Quinyon Mitchell. So here's the numbers from Next Gen Stats that I was mentioned. Aligned across from Terry McLaurin, 20 of his 25 routes, meaning Terry's 25 routes, so 80%. 19 of 20 when aligned wide. Mitchell was not targeted on any of his coverage snaps against McLaurin, was targeted on just one of his 32 coverage snaps all night. No receptions allowed since week six. He's allowed 0.5 yards per coverage snap, second fewest among cornerbacks with a minimum of 100 coverage snaps since that time. That's a lot of gobbledygook on the numbers, but I think you understand what I mean. And here's just a little bit more. Average yards of separation, according to Next Gen Stats, Terry McLaurin had 1.19 yards average yards of separation as a receiver. The league average is 2.97. Terry had 1.19. John Bates had 7.8. Diami Brown had 5.84. Zach Ertz had 3.41. Noah Brown had 3.04. I think that kind of tells you, like, yes, you could have forced the ball to Terry. But Jaden, I mean, from everything I understand about this offense, they are going to not say, hey, you must get 10 targets to Terry. Instead, they're like, no, take it where the defense and the coverage takes you. Again, that has nothing to do with the malaise that they were in late in that game. They should have been in a much more urgent time frame. All right, let's get back to the calls. Let's say hello to Mike in Wheaton next up on the Team 980. Mike, good afternoon. How are you?
All right, and you?
Good, Mike. What's going on?
How you doing?
I'm doing okay.
We got a new owner, right? We got a new general manager. We got a new head coach. We got a new quarterback, and we got 32 new players. I consider us like a expansion team, and we're doing damn good. We're doing damn good.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not bringing the baggage of the history. I'm all the way back to 1933.
Yeah, that
I ain't
bringing
it.
Yeah, none of that has anything to do with anything, right?
Right. And I look at it like BC and AD. You know, with Dan Quinn, it's before him. It was all a dream. It was all a dream. And 50 quarterbacks since Sonny Jurgensen. It's all a dream, and it was a mess. And we got, like I said, we got a new owner, new general manager, new head coach, new quarterback, 32 new. And then this is what I want you to do. I want you to print out the copy of the roster, current roster, and next year, a day before the next season starts, print out the next roster. And look at the comparison, because I guarantee you we're going to have 20 new players added to this crop of players. This ain't even the team, except for Daniels. This ain't the team.
Yeah. There was almost 70% roster turnover last year. It's not going to be that much this offseason, but – like, to your point, there's going to be guys that were here this year that were brought literally for this year to change the culture, add veteran leadership, give them a little shot in the arm, one on offense, one on defense. I don't know if Zach Ertz is going to be here next year. I don't know if Bobby Wagner is going to be here next year. I mean,
right.
I'm a little more convinced that Bobby Wagner will be here than maybe Zach Ertz. But, you know, I mean, I could be wrong on that. There's going to be, you know, Diami Brown might not be here. I'm trying to think.
I bet three of those offensive linemen ain't going to be here next year.
I think there's a better chance that they're going to be here than maybe some of the other guys I mentioned. But to your point.
Oh, yeah, but
to your point, there's going to be changes. There's no doubt. Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at Philly's offensive line and how they, when they broke the huddle, how they just stood. And they compared to our offensive line, man. They must be 305, 310, all the way across the front. And you'd be like, man, Dan Quinn knows, and Kingsbury, they know.
Yeah,
I
appreciate you, Mike. I gotta jump in because we're up against the clock. Just because you weigh a certain amount doesn't mean you're good. You know, and the Commanders are plenty big enough. They just got to be better, and they're probably beat up. That often, I think JP mentioned this, you know, as I was listening to him and B. Mitch on my way in through all the traffic. You know, it's not just Jaden Daniels who's beat up, which what I contend are not beat up, but hitting the rookie wall. It's also that offensive line. That's a very, 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 very physical group. You play 17 weeks of football, 11 regular season games, including a short week in the division against those two defenses. Man, it ain't going to go well in a lot of cases, and it sure as hell didn't. 259, Team 980, more of your calls. A final hour of power straight ahead. Stay with us.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on.
The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.